Hello, Alvin here from the Success Unscrambled podcast. Thanks for joining us today. In today's episode, I'm going to be covering one of the key elements that will help you rank in the Google search engines, something that is probably overlooked by many bloggers. And the topic is the only WordPress SEO Yoast tutorial you'll ever need. I'll say it again, the only WordPress SEO Yoast tutorial you'll ever need. So the focus of the podcast today, or the episode today, is to look at the Yoast SEO plugin that you can add to your WordPress blog. And there are so many benefits of adding that plugin to your blog. It makes life a lot easier for you in terms of the technical requirements for search engine optimization on your blog. The search engines, as you probably are aware or not aware, update their algorithms quite regularly, probably every month or every 2 months, with the Panda updates and all of those other fancy things. And as bloggers, we won't have time to keep track of all of these updates and drops in traffic and increases in traffic and all of that. But what we can do is use a tool like Yoast SEO to guide us whenever we are creating creating our next blog post. So for the purposes of this particular episode, I'm just going to look at SEO or search engine optimization briefly, because I'm aware that some people may not be educated, or not necessarily educated, but they not even know what this whole SEO thing is all about and never heard of it. But basically, SEO is an acronym for search engine optimization, and it's a term used by professionals in the sort of search marketing industry to describe the process of tweaking your content to ensure that you rank well in the search engines. And that's all it really is. There are a lot of technical factors, unfortunately, but I'm not going to teach you about those technical factors today because they're too technical. I'm just going to show you how to install a plugin on your WordPress blog and then configure that plugin in a step-by-step process, and then obviously look at the 11 key factors you need to ensure you have done to a good level, so that you can get all green lights and go ahead and post or schedule your next blog post. So when it comes to search engine optimization, there are two sort of main sections. You have the on-page factors as well as the off-page factors. So on-page factors include things like your keywords, title — I'll explain keywords a little later on — your H1 and H2 headings, your internal links throughout the site, your keyword density, which I'll explain a little later on, your site structure, and many, many more. Whereas your off-page factors only come boils down to 3 or 4, even 5 and max. But I'll mention the 4 of them here. Links that come from other people's site back to your site. Social media promotion, so having all of your different social profiles set up and active. I wouldn't suggest you sort of go on a spree of activating all of them at the same time. It just depends on your bandwidth. Social bookmarking, so other people bookmarking your site on your behalf. And then public relations. So you know, there's PR when you have a news release about your particular brand or company, that helps to give you link juice back to your site as well. I am not going to cover a lot of off-page in this particular blog episode. I am just going to focus on the on-page factors, which come as standard. Well, which is more or less analyzed within the Yoast SEO plugin. So who is Yoast? Who's this dude or person? Well, before I get into Yoast itself, you have to look at the whole idea of WordPress. A WordPress blog, the whole idea of WordPress.org, hosting your own site, etc. If you haven't installed your WordPress blog yet and it's something you're planning to do, remember to check out the Start a Blog in 10 Days challenge that I started over last week, so that you can get access to the tutorials over 20 plus videos. Okay, let's get back to WordPress. So WordPress is an open source platform used for content as a content management system. So it manages your content online, and there are thousands of creators or designers that use this ecosystem to develop what we call plugins for this particular WordPress, platform. And Yoast is one of those creators, and it was founded back in 2010 by Yoast Devok, and it has grown since as an awesome plugin, according to my benefit, because I've seen it grow and develop. And the company is located in the Netherlands, before I bite my tongue. So I started blogging over 10 years ago. Trust me, I'm not that old. And I do remember having the choice between two different SEO plugins, one of them called the All-in-One SEO plugin, which I used quite regularly at the time, because Yoast, as you can imagine, is only 8 years old, so it wasn't existing back then. And then Yoast came onto the scene, and people were saying there wasn't really a big difference between All-in-One SEO plugin and Yoast. I actually haven't used All-in-One SEO plugin for a while, but I can tell you that Yoast SEO plugin is quite good. It covers a whole plethora of things that are so very important for your ranking in the search engines. So, in order to get this up and running on your site, we need to install the plugin and activate it. So once you go into your WordPress blog in the back end and you go into the plugin section, you go look for the words Yoast SEO, and you should see that come up. But all you need to do then is click the install button, and once it's finished installing, you can then activate it. You always should check on each plugin before you install it that it's actually compatible with your particular version of WordPress. When I checked at time of writing this particular blog post, the plugin was updated just about 24 hours ago, no, 9 to 24 hours ago. So it's quite new, so it is very compatible with my site. There's over 1 million active installations of this particular plugin. So I'm fine with that. As you can imagine, some creators actually create plugins and then they don't, because you have to maintain plugins with all the WordPress updates. So some creators actually abandon their plugins for years and they're no longer fit for purpose, and they can actually harm your WordPress site. So always check to ensure that you have a plugin that is kept up to date. So once you've installed it and activated it, what you're going to do next then is to configure that particular plugin. So some plugins you can just activate and install and it's good to go. Well, this particular one, you're encouraged to configure it to your particular requirements. So once you've gone in, click on plugins again and look at the settings of this particular plugin, you'll see check SEO configuration. You click on that button and follow the steps through. You would see a big welcome screen, configure Yoast SEO. In a few steps, you just click configure, and then you're brought into a page where you can choose if it is your site is already live or if it's still under construction. I would suggest you wait until your site is live before you do this, because you do need to also activate your Google Search Console as well. So after the environment, you get to site type. You would see the option to select the type either a blog, online shop, a news channel, an offline business, a corporation, a portfolio, or something else. So but just choose the one that's most appropriate for yours. For me, it was a blog. And then company or person you select, either if it is the site is a company or a person, because some people have personal, like it's themselves that they represented because they are their brand. And then you're then brought to social profiles, search engine visibility. Just select if it's there with multiple authors, yes or no. Once you've done that, you can complete the steps, ensuring that, you know, everything went fine. The next step, like I mentioned, is to authenticate with your Google Search Console. Now, I didn't do this particular step because it's outside the realm of this particular post, and it may require a lot of tweaking and tickling, so I didn't want to go into that. But you should be able to do it, just follow the instructions to create or activate your Google Search Console. Of course, you need to sign up for it with your either your Gmail account or your Google account. And I'm not going to cover that in this particular podcast because that just gets very confusing for a lot of people. But just follow the instructions. If it is you need, I'm planning to do a training on the Search Console at a later point, but not now. But yeah, just try as much as possible to follow the instructions on the Google Search site, the console site. It should be quite easy and straightforward. So confirm all of that, your website name, your titles, what else is next? There's no need to be to sign up to the newsletter, and you are more or less completed. That's it, done. All right. So, next step then is the optimization of your particular post. So I'm going through this assuming in my head that by listening to this, you already have your blog set up. Again, if you don't have your blog already set up, you haven't even started your blog yet, then no point listening to this particular podcast. It would be helpful for you in the future if you already have a blog set up, especially on WordPress.org. But remember to check out my tutorial, a video tutorial, which is to start a blog 10-day challenge. Right. So let's look at the post optimization. So the best way to approach this, I find the best way to do it. Once you have the plugin activated and everything, when you go to create a new page or new post, you'll notice that there is this section called Yoast SEO Analysis, and it will sort of guide you through a red, amber, or green as to where you are in terms of having your blog post technically correct for SEO. All right, so the 11 things that you would need to ensure that the SEO analysis is right are unique focus keyword, your word count, your keyword density, your keyword in title, your H2 subheading with keyword, your keyword in URL. I know this all sounds very technical, but I'm going to go through it step by step. Outbound links, internal links, images with keyword in the alt text box, SEO title width, and then your meta description length with keyword. Like I said, they all sound very technical, but it's actually quite simple. So let's look at them step by step. Unique focus keyword. So one of the things that you're encouraged to do throughout your site, just to ensure that you don't have two pages that's ranking for the exact same keyword, is to ensure that each page or post is especially the ones that's public, not necessarily the private ones, each post or page is actually ranking for a unique keyword. And if you've never heard about keyword before, a keyword is a key phrase is basically a term that you would like that page or post to rank for in the search engines. So for example, a keyword could be Yoast SEO, and you can write a post about Yoast SEO, and that's your keyword for that particular post. Or it could be something like WordPress tutorial, and you can have like four words in that phrase, or you can have two words in that phrase. Single keywords are very hard to rank for. So the word, for example, just trying to think of a word, pretty. So if you want to rank for the word pretty, it would be very difficult to rank for that because there are millions and millions of pages across the web that's probably using that same word. It's probably much easier to rank for what we call a long tail keyword, which has about four different words in that phrase, rather than to rank for a short tail keyword, which has only one word, one to two words in that phrase. All right, so that's an example of a keyword. So think about it, what it is. Anytime you're going to write a blog post, if you have never done keyword research before, you will need to think of a unique word that people are searching for. And I will cover searching for keywords in a different podcast, but not today. So just bear that in mind. So next up, we have word count, which is number three. And as the name suggests, it's just the number of words in that particular page or post. And then we have your keyword density. If you've never heard of word density before, don't panic. So it's a total number of times that your keyword appears in that particular, or per 100 to 200 words, like put 200 words, or in that particular blog post. So if you have a blog post that has 1,000 words in it, you want to make sure that there's a 0.5% density of that particular keyword. And 0.5% represents the keyword appears five times in that 1,000 word article or post. I hope that makes sense. It just sounds technical, but it means after you listen to this podcast, you get a chance and read the blog post as well. I actually have screenshots there to show you all about that. So next up, we have number five, which is the keyword in title. So you should include that keyword in the title of your blog post, and then have at least one to two subheadings or subtitles with the keyword included as standard. So your keyword will get more juice if you have it in an H2 subheading compared to having it just in the actual paragraph text. Keyword in URL. So when you are completing what you want the URL to look like, you can have 10 words in that URL, or the shorter, just remember the shorter the better, where you can have two words. So depending on your keyword phrase, if your keyword phrase has 2 to 3 to 4 words, then that's perfectly fine. You can make sure you include that in the URL as well. Otherwise, you are reducing the chances of you ranking your page or your post ranking really well in the search engines. So next up, we have outbound link, and that is number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So you're number 8 now. So it's common courtesy within among bloggers or anyone who's doing search engine marketing, or search engine optimization. Yes, there's a difference between the two. For them to link not just whole lot of juice in the page, but to link to an external source. And the higher the authority of the source that you're linking to, the better it is for your particular site, because it makes your site look good when you link to a really high authority page. Again, I can cover authorities of page and stuff in another podcast, not today. So much to learn when it comes to search engine optimization. Okay, next up, we've got an internal link. So apart from linking externally, you need to link internally. And the reason for that then is because it helps your users obviously navigate through your site, as well as the spiders that search engine sends out to your site. But most importantly, it also helps with your site structure. So what you want to be able to do is to draw the structure of your site with the main keywords that you want to rank for on the very top, and then as you go down the hierarchical structure, the long tail keywords you'd find at the bottom, which will actually push juice then to the upper keywords. That's right, for the structure of the site. Next up, which is number 9, I believe, or even 10, is the images with the keyword in the alt text. So whenever you upload an image to your blog post or to your page, ensure that the keyword that you would like to rank for is included in the alt text of that particular image. I've included a screenshot for you to see in the blog post, so check out the blog post at successunscrambled.com, and I believe it's /, in this particular case, /, give me one little second here, because there was 4 words, / WordPress-SEO-Yoast-tutorial. That's just the standard format of the blog post, the best way to sort of have it outlined. All right, so that's the images. So number 10 then would be the SEO title width. So the whole idea behind titles is to ensure that there are long enough to cover a certain width. So the one that people sort of say 40 characters, some argue it's 50, some argue it's 70, but you want to sort of stay as short as possible. So the Yoast SEO analysis section would actually show you where you are tracking in terms of your SEO title width. And then finally, number 11 is your meta description length with keyword. So I can't remember how many characters are in the meta description, but it will actually show you as you type. Make sure you have a compelling message in that particular meta description, and ensure you include the keyword as well. You know, this keyword is appearing everywhere. It's like a mystery guest. Anyway, and you would actually see a preview of what that looks like in the search engines. Next up then, we've got the analysis. I've included a screenshot of what the analysis looks like. I've given you an incomplete example, so you'd know what it shouldn't look like, as opposed to giving you an example where it's already completed. And as you can see, we have 3 different sections. You've got the problems, the improvements, and then the good results. Good results means thumbs up, but that doesn't mean that those good results can go bad if you change 1 or 2 things in the post. So just keep tracking how you're going with these particular Yoast analysis, SEO analysis. And then once you get all greens, I don't think I've ever gotten 100% greens for the SEO section, because there are certain things that I probably wouldn't, I don't necessarily agree with, but I prefer to do some things slightly different. But get the message here is to get the vast majority of them in green. And yeah, that screenshot should give you an idea of what to look out for. I love the way it's all sort of green, red, amber, and green, like an actual traffic light, so you know which section to focus on and improving. I'm trying to think if there's anything else in this particular section. Yeah, so the whole idea here is not to get it perfect, but to make sure you get good rankings in the search engines, and these are the essential things you need to ensure you tweak until you get it right before, or even you can do it after you've gone post, but before is better, because your page and site gets indexed, so you might as well get indexed with the correct information in it. So next up, we've got the readability. So if you look at the Yoast plugin on your WordPress blog, you'll see one section for the SEO and the other section for readability. Readability, as you can imagine, is so very important because people read from different devices and they want to be able to see what the text is all about. So make sure your text isn't too small and all of that, but this doesn't deal with the text too small or too big. It actually just deals with, how would we put it? It's the size of each paragraph, the amount of words per sentence. What else is considered here? Active and passive voice usages. So ensure that it's really readable in the true sense of the word. And why this is important? Well, if your blog posts are readable, then people would tend to stay longer. So it reduces your bounce rate, and then also increases then the session time, the amount of time people spend on your site in one session, which is good. It increases your rankings as a result of that. Like I said, I've included a screenshot of that analysis as well, so you can get a taste and feel of what it's supposed to look like. And it means then that your readers will have a very good experience and they will be happy to return again. All right. Recap time. Wow. I'm sorry if that one was sort of heavy going and technical. I didn't want to spend too much time on one item at a time, so I just try to make it as light as possible. But if you have any sort of questions, let me know. So in terms of the recap, so this particular one, we're talking about the Yoast SEO plugin. It's easy to install and activate, very simple, dead simple to configure. Just follow the step-by-step instructions, and all of the required factors are there, so you can tweak and tweak until you've gotten all the green lights. So write a blog post first from your heart and soul, and then you can just insert the keywords accordingly throughout the post, and then tweak the sentences from passive voice to active voice, and also then put in subheadings as well so that the paragraphs aren't too long and chunky. All right. That's it for today. Remember to subscribe to our podcast. If you haven't started your blog yet, do check out the 10-day startup blog on a budget challenge, as it covers all aspects of blogging for beginners, to become a blogger, and to also focus on your specific niche. So we go through niche, finding a profitable niche, finding a passion, etc. Right. If you are already a blogger, that's no problem at all. You can pick up the free printable of a daily blog checklist. Everyone needs some sort of help with time management, so I've included a checklist from last week's podcast there as well, so you can pick that up. And if it is you are looking for a virtual assistant to help you with your Pinterest account, don't forget to check out my products and services that's on offer. All right. Thanks ever so much for joining us on this podcast today. Remember to subscribe to the podcast. You can be the first to know when it goes live. That's all for today. I hope you found it really valuable, and you would, unlike me, because I was at one point so lazy, I didn't want to fill out all of those the Yoast SEO plugin area, because I just thought it was monotonous and boring. But the added value here is, once you put in the work, you have a better chance of ranking well, or even reducing your bounce rate. All right. Enjoy the rest of your day and the rest of the week. Bye for now.